Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Most people would agree on one thing about President Donald Trump. He doesn't get a lot of sleep. Flurries of middle-of-the-night social media posts can attest to that, so can the dizzying number of executive orders. But is he, as a man on the cusp of 80 years old, actually working himself to death? Many were asking that question when rumors swirled around social media claiming that the president was dead. On X, the hashtags TrumpIsDead and WhereIsTrump trended. Millions of people made or watched videos speculating that Trump had died or suffered a stroke or another serious medical emergency. What was the talk based on? The fact he'd gone about 2 days without holding a press conference or appearing in the public eye. When he reappeared on Tuesday for a press conference, a Fox News reporter asked the president, "How did you find out over the weekend that you were dead?" Trump said he had not seen claims alleging his death. "It's sort of crazy, but last week I did numerous news conferences," he said. "All successful, they went very well. Like this is going very well." Trump did reveal recently that he was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, which is causing swelling in his lower legs. Here's Tara Servatius with the latest on Trump's health and her concerns for it. And note that while she is an avid supporter, she does concede that concerns from both sides of the aisle about Trump's health are legitimate and not just political attacks.
Okay, we have checked that update. Donald Trump is still not dead. Never mind the fact that right now on X, the number one trending thing is hashtag Trump dead. So this is kooky leftist idea that Trump has actually died and this is a body double. But they're going to get to the bottom of it. The other two things trending: the White House and Oval Office. They're all over it. This has been trending for almost 24 hours now and really started beginning the weekend. Why? Because the left has no hope. Their only hope is that Trump will pass away and they will be left with soft, pliable Republicans who will capitulate to them, as has happened for many decades. They don't know what to do with a Republican who won't capitulate. And they also know that just about everybody absent Trump will capitulate. We know Mike Johnson will sell out. All you got to do is go boo and he'll be like, "How much? What do you want?" Marco Rubio is a great statesman, but he's a, you know, he's an amnesty guy. They can get their open borders that way. And J.D. Vance used to be very anti-Trump before he was pro-Trump. They think they can bend him to their will. So they're very excited this weekend. And that's what trended all weekend long. What caused this? Because your liberal friends, they're very excited. I mean, they have no platform of any kind, no plans to do anything but oppose Trump. And so they this is the best, the most hope they've had in a while. Where's this coming from? Okay, started with this over the weekend. Rumors of his death, particularly on X. Primary triggers. And Trump had not been seen publicly since a cabinet meeting on Tuesday. Good. I hope he took a break. And no public events scheduled for the Labor Day weekend. That theory led to, well, maybe he's sick. This unusual lack of visibility combined with a blank White House schedule sparked questions about his whereabouts. Of course, they never had any of these questions about Joe Biden, okay? So it starts trending, where is Trump? Trump is dead. Starts trending on X. And by Saturday, it's 158,000 posts. Everybody's very excited on the left that Trump might be dead. After all, remember after the assassinations, a little over 30% of Democrats said that they thought it would be a very good thing if Trump died by assassination. So this is who they are. Trump, earlier in 25, okay, Trump was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. It's a condition causing swelling lower legs. My dad has a version of it. And it's common in people over 70. But it means, you know, your heart is beginning to struggle, that you are having trouble overcoming the swelling, the bloating, things like that. It is very much, you know, blood pressure circulation related. And you're over 70, it's not going to be great no matter what you do, right? You can exercise and all that, but Trump's never been in the best shape. And so he had a meeting. This is, you can go back and read about this in the Associated Press. And I checked this out. This is legit, okay? Headline, this is what started it. Trump is checked for for lower leg swelling and diagnosed with common condition in older adults. Okay. But they took a look at him. He was sitting there, a big White House confab. And this you know, started in July, back in August. And the swelling in his ankles is unbelievable. You can see the minor bruising on his hands. Elderly people with this will get that too. And it occurs when the like little valves inside veins that normally help blood, you know, against gravity, flow against gravity, gradually lose the ability to work properly. And if you look at the pictures here, wow. This was during a, you remember when the Euroweenies came a couple weeks ago and Trump is at the White House and he's sitting there and they're not wrong about this. It, I mean, you can Google it. This was, I mean, he looks like he's got elephantitis in his ankles. They are really swollen and that is really not good. And I was saying, which has been about a week and a half ago, something like that, Caroline Leavitt, his spokesperson, was bragging that the reporters on the plane were sleeping and Trump worked a staggering 35 straight hours doing an interview every single hour in that period while the reporters slept, and she was very proud and, oh, look at him, he can outwork them. And I went, oh my gosh, please stop. Talk radio hosts around the country, we need to start a movement. Trump takes a day off. He's got to take a day off. That 35 hour stretch was, you know, remember that he had the summit with Putin and then he had a deal with the Euro weenies. He just didn't sleep. Guy's sleeping like 3-4 hours. He's really just napping. You can't, I'm telling you, you can't do that with this. You can't. He is not well. He's not. Now, I'm not, when I'm saying that, I'm not saying he's off like Biden was or senile. I'm saying you can't push your body at 79 like this. This would kill you in your 50s. You keep doing this kind of schedule. So I started talking about that. I said, you know what? We need to start a movement. Trump needs to take a day off. Just one day. No work on Sunday, and people on his staff need to enforce that. Stop it. Take it away. Take the Truth Social away. Take it all away and make him rest. So I was thrilled he didn't have any events over the weekend, but I got to tell you, I was a little worried when I saw it. The left's not wrong on this, except they hope he'll die. I didn't want him to live because, I mean, J.D. Vance, I think, would carry forward a lot of the stuff. I think he's probably a good guy. Does he want to get reelected? But it's not going to be like with Trump. You know it. And by the way, the other thing that got him going was Trump saying he was trying to stop the Ukraine war to do a good thing to make up for all of his, you know, playboy days and sin in the past so he could get into heaven. The left went wild. Oh, cool. He's going to heaven. Bye-bye. You know, so that's all going on. But there are legitimate medical concerns here. It's not great. And he needs to slow down. He has got to start taking a break. You cannot go 7 days a week sleeping 3-4 hours a day at his age. You can't. And Trump earlier this year was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. I said this last segment. And that occurs when like little valves inside the you know, veins normally help blood flow against gravity. They lose the ability to work properly and you get the swelling in the ankles. It's one of the signs of it, but it's not a good sign. Yes, it's common in people over 70. My dad has a version of it. But I know dealing with his health problems, just listening to him talk about it, he's got to sit down and slow down. My dad does, to be healthy, and Trump isn't doing it. So over the weekend, Caroline Leavitt, who, folks, I was cringing. And I played the audio for you. She was bragging because the New York Times reporters, you know, missed some critical details because they were asleep on the plane. And she's saying, if you just been up like Trump, and she said, you know, she's bragging, he's been up for 35 hours. And I was like, oh, somebody made him go to sleep. He can't keep doing it. He's going to kill himself.
So what's a person to do if they dislike Donald Trump as a person and dispute many of his policies and then find out that he's not well? Chad Hartman from WCCO has some words for you.
This isn't a shocker. Anybody who listens to the show, I'm not really a big fan of Donald Trump, the human being, or many of his policies. This second term has turned out to be what he told you it was going to be. It's about bullying. It's about revenge. It's about vengeance. It's not like I'm against all of his policies. That's far from that. But the human being is it's pretty much clear that he's been a bully every aspect of his life. However, However, the ghoulish excitement about a health issue involving Donald Trump is embarrassing. It's shameful. Do I expect him to tell us the truth in any way about his health? Hell no. Who was the guy in the first time he ran who looked like the college professor who had been partying way too long and claimed to be Trump's doctor? Trump claimed to be the doctor, and it was like he's in the greatest shape ever. And then the guy would later admit that Trump wrote the entire report, right? He paid him or something like that. And then we got Ronny Jackson, who read about Ronny Jackson and the Obama administration and flights and that man's credibility. Didn't he say something like Trump could live until he's 200? I've never met somebody in better shape than Trump.
I believe it.
All that.
Then was it Harold Bornstein?
Harold
was the doctor?
Bornstein, yes, yeah. That's right. Like kind of wild looking, right?
Yeah, got the long hair.
Long hair, yeah. Go, Harold. Then we had, was it about a year ago or when was it when he came out? He was 6'3", 250. 6'3", 215. He's closer to my height. And he's closer to, I don't know, 250? I don't know. His energy, almost all the time, I never question it. How he's using the energy, I question pretty much every time. And so now we've had this strange bruise on his right hand for a while, right? And it seems like they've been sometimes covering it up, sometimes not covering up it. Appears he may have been wearing a catheter for a while. The right leg is dragging a little bit. He's 79. Guess what? When you're 70, I think what percentage of people would like to be in the same health as Donald Trump? From what we know, okay? From what we know about Donald Trump at 79 right now. I got a guy who wouldn't take it. That's a man who used to, who's still my father, who's not with us anymore. He was in better shape. He's a rarity. He's Trump at 79 is in better shape, seemingly from energy and pace, than what percentage would you say?
82%.
Yeah, I might even go higher. But they're not ever going to tell us the truth about this guy and his health. Ever.
They're not just, if it's bad news.
No. And even if it's true, I just don't know how much is going to be true. You know, you read some of the accounts, the 20 election, when he developed COVID, maybe even right here at Marty Davis's party, mm-hmm. where he was extraordinarily sick, like scarily sick as the president of the United States.
Are you saying a president's staff would hide the shortcomings of a president's health in any way, Chad?
Yeah. You're stepping on the touchdown call because I'm going to go to the last guy, and they were lying to us too.
They still are.
They're still lying to us. I mean, who knows when Biden really – I use this example often. I've used it in a while, but when – Obama, who had gave the tip of the cap to Clinton over Biden, and then Clinton loses, and now we got a kiss up to Joe, and so it's one of the last days of Obama's presidency, and they invite people behind the scenes who know Biden. He doesn't know. He thinks he's just coming in to nod and whatever, and he awards Joe the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what we're going to hear today with Rudy Giuliani.
Very similar.
Very similar. You watch that Joe Biden. And then you see Joe Biden in 2020 when he's running, and they're slip. But then you see it from 21, 22, 23, 24. He's just not the same person.
No.
And it's sad. It's sad because age gets to people in different ways. And while I disagree massively with Donald Trump, the person, and many of his policies, I don't want a single thing to happen to his health. I wish he was the president of the United States, but I'm not wishing death upon him. And I get some parts of Twitter are the worst. Some of it is the best. Some of it's funny. Some of it's informative. But if you're a public official and you are legitimately having fun or hopeful in some way of the serious, not joking, health demise of the President of the United States, what the hell is wrong with you? Again, I'm no fan of the guy. I mean, I think he demonstrates himself to be just an awful person on a regular basis, the way he treats people, the demeaning he does. But among the fraudulence about this, Dave, is some of the folks who found the way to joke about it, they were the same ones who either in the media, the new media, or politics, who when you'd ask them about Biden, you know what they'd say? Seems fine to me. Didn't see a problem. Just was with him.
You should see him in those meetings.
You should see him. He's amazing.
He's unbelievable.
He's like Einstein. So Donald Trump's having an announcement soon. If he announces he's stepping down as president, I'd be like, thank you. If he announces he has some illness, that's awful. I wish ill health on murderers, disgusting people. Not a guy who I never would vote for. Not a guy who I think treats people solely how they treat him. That's it. He wakes up every day. How is today going to benefit me? That's what Donald Trump thinks every day. But if you're gleeful about health, or this was your thing this week to come up with, they've shut down Walter Reed, get out of here. Now, it's embarrassing, and I don't know if it's going to end going forward. Because nobody can tell us we knew what we should have known about Biden. No one can honestly say. They can say it. They're not right. They're just not telling the truth. And if something is going on with Donald Trump, come on. We'll never know. Outside of another doctor, Dr. Harold Bornstein, or his new assistant, he's greater than ever. He's in the best shape. And what do you want to say about the folks who just were basically hopeful that there was going to be a death announcement?
Yeah, well, we should be better than that, but sadly we're not.
No.
And, I mean, can you imagine what social media is going to be like the day that Trump, Biden, Obama, when one of them passes? I mean, get off social media for a week because it's just going to be disgusting.
Or, okay, let's say Trump did announce in his press conference that he has some notable health condition. Where we're at now, the number of people who would say, I'm going to step aside from our political differences and I'm going to wish the president the best, where that would have been McCain, Obama, Romney, Obama, Kerry, Bush to now, we can't even see that coming.
Why is everyone in the media seemingly so hot and bothered about Trump's health when they gave Joe Biden a hard pass for years? Here's Mark Cox at KFTK with more.
It just amazes me that suddenly they're all up in the business of the president's health when they went 4 years of saying, nothing to see here, don't be looking. There's no mental health, no physical health, no balance problems, nothing at all. Our president is absolutely fine. Yet now they're going after. They have nothing else.
The mental health people, the mental health side of this is on the left. There's a serious issue going on here. You got this guy, he can't believe it. He thinks we're living in the days of the Kremlin in 1980. This is what this is like. You should hear these two bantering on this little podcast about why they can't believe we haven't gone to complete civil war yet because of Donald Trump. Listen.
Are you like freaked out by this? Because this fact really, really makes me like, this is this is not normal democracy.
Yeah, no, it's obviously not normal. And it's very strange to live in this situation. And you would have thought that people would have rebelled against it in a greater way than they have.
Any idea what they're talking about?
No. And I'm like, give me an instance. Give me an example of how your life has changed, pro or con, because of Donald Trump.
That you think there should have been...
Have there been firing squads? Have our ICE people taken people out in the street and assassinated them? I mean, that's what happens in a dictatorship. Hitler, Nazi, all the words they use to try to describe him. None of it happens. None of it. Give me one thing that has happened. And they go, oh, he's going after illegals. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's going after people who are in this country illegally, as they would in any nation in the world that has sovereign borders. They should be going after people who are undocumented to make sure that they're following our immigration law.
And he's doing exactly what he told you he was going to do.
Yeah.
Why is any of this a surprise? It should be. You may not like it, but to try to declare that it's unconstitutional, no, it's not.
Or their democracy is being crushed. Give me an example.
What's unconstitutional is opening our southern border and letting anybody by the millions who wanted to rush across into this country. And now we're all dealing with the fallout from that. If you missed this earlier in the show, the Post-Dispatch ran an article this weekend in disbelief that local traffic stops are now leading to people being reported to ICE. Like, they reported this with shock and awe. Are you kidding me? Why, it used to be like that all the time. Why is it not still like that? Police officers used to get a bounty for turning in illegals to ICE in the not so distant past.
They got a bonus from the federal government, like $25 to $50.
My father-in-law did.
Yeah, my nephew. So
yeah,
same thing.
Absolutely. So I know it used to happen. It makes perfect sense. I say bring the bounties back. Well, you're going to get a lot more folks who shouldn't be driving to begin with because they're illegal and they shouldn't have a driver's license. There was an example of one guy who got caught in the city last year in the car with a gun, with shell casings in the car, and they released him. That tells you what the problem that we've been dealing with up until now. And now ICE is on him, and he's going to be deported, probably.
Yeah, he's part of that recent roundup. Did you see how ICE spun that in the news? Because they were saying, oh, they're using traffic stops to get these people into the federal courts. And I'm like, cooperation between local law enforcement and ICE is being credited for the increase of illegal arrests, referrals, and deportations. That's how that story should have been spun.
And they didn't do it.
No.
And they weren't doing it a year ago.
Oh, of course
not.
No, they were not participating at all. It's like they're trying to put shame on police officers for cooperating with ICE.
It's an upside-down world.
It's crazy that we're
all
not.
All right, Ethan, let's get to our top stories real quick.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We do not want to see tanks in our streets. We do not want to see families ripped apart. We do not want grandmothers thrown into the back of unmarked vans. We don't want to see homeless Chicagoans harassed or disappeared by federal agents.
Are they illegal, Mayor? Could somebody just ask him that question? I don't care if the van's marked or not. Are they illegal? If ICE is taking them, that's legal. Yeah. It's legal. Listen to this.
It's been a violent Labor Day weekend in Chicago. At least 54 people have been shot, including 7 who were killed.
Update, 8.
Yep.
54 people shot, 8 people killed in Chicago this weekend. But according to that numbskull mayor you just heard from, there's nothing to see here. We don't need any help as there's a raging fire going on in the background.
It's just hard to believe y'all, Jamie, now, simply because we know what y'all watched the last 4 years. Even when I see somebody like Corinne Jean-Pierre come out with her book, and I'm like, you sat up there and lied for him all of this time, and now you want to be honest and say you're an independent, and it's the same. All of y'all did that for the last 4 years.
Yes. Oh. Charlemagne the God calling out the former DNC chairman. You lied to us for 4 years. The guy's like, I didn't lie to anybody. Oh, yeah, you
yes,
did.
Yes, you did. Yes. For 4 years.
Yes, you did.
If I were to give you your $2,350, which is the cost to renunciate your citizenship, and I paid you your first class, you know, flight to whatever communist country, and $20,000 of spending money,
communist country.
Would you give up your citizenship
Name
to go
me
to
a
that
communist country?
This guy, Patrick Bet David, sat down and challenged these liberals. I guess I don't know what the college setting was. And he absolutely tied this one in knots. I mean, she did. She hates capitalism. Just a complete numbskull. But when offered the opportunity with full airfare and an extra 20 grand to go to any of these countries and live, she declined and got up and left the table. Because deep down, they realize that as stupid as they are and as much as they hate capitalism, it's the best system in the world compared to all the others. They realize that.
And they don't understand government does
Nothing.
Not make money. It comes from people. The whole socialist movement, these young people, because they've never paid taxes,
right,
don't get it that everything you give to people, give away free, comes from the working class, comes from the people who are putting in the time, the effort, the energy. They just want to be professional protesters and have all the freebies come from the government. They think the government is like a business or something that's generating income. It's
frightening,
not,
frightening
it's
that some of these people still get that they get to vote. They get to go out and support people like this Mamdani guy in New York who's going to nationalize or
free groceries,
you know, buy grocery stores and just give the food away. I mean, how does that work? Who's paying for it? The taxpayer's paying for it. Oh, my goodness. We would need to get to a break. We got Todd Patrick Pyro from Fox and Friends First coming up in just a couple of minutes. Bottom of the hour, Mark Walters is going to join me from Armed American Radio to talk more about the fallout. If you notice, you didn't see much news about the Minnesota shooter over the weekend. Wonder why that disappeared out of the headlines.
While we're on the topic of Democrats and the cities they run, let's take a quick detour into the question, what is going on in Chicago? Here's Tara with more.
The standoff between Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and President Trump shows no signs of easing. Johnson taking to the streets on Monday after signing an executive order limiting how much the city's police department can work with troops and federal immigration agents.
Are you prepared to defend this land? The people united will always prevail. I need you all to stand firm, to stand strong. This is the city that said keep hope alive. The city that birthed Yes We Can. And the city that will defend this country. No troops in Chicago. No troops in Chicago.
Johnson is promising to resist despite another violent weekend in Chicago. NBC Chicago reports 54 people were shot and 7 people were killed during Labor Day weekend in the Windy City. The president is making comparisons with D.C., saying, wow, Mayor Muriel Bowser of D.C. has become very popular because she worked with me and my great people in bringing crime town to virtually nothing in D.C. Her statements and actions were positive, instead of others like Pritzker, Wes Moore, Newsom, and the 5% approval-rated mayor of Chicago.
Okay, what's going on here? Trump's still threatening to do this, and he's doing, this is brilliant. I mean, it's the kind of stuff Republicans never used to do. It's the ABC 1-2-3 stuff. He has got Democrats out there screaming bloody murder in defense of criminals. Total win. And you see Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, we will defend, who are you going to defend? They're coming in to pick up criminals. Now, folks, there's something much bigger going on here. And you saw this in D.C., and you begin to see taking shape what Trump is actually doing here. He's going into these cities, starting with D.C. He's going to break the Democrats. He will. And, well, he's going to clean up crime. Okay, the stats are amazing. Yes, he's cleaning up crime, but what else is he doing? He's picking up the illegal immigrants and violent criminals who are American citizens who are using these cities as sanctuaries. either the American citizen criminals because they're, you know, they it's so lax there, they can keep bonding out. Same with the illegals. And he's going in, picking them up federally so that the Democrats can't just churn them back out. It's brilliant. Here's Kash Patel talking about just who they've picked up in D.C., including 81 violent gang members that are wanted. So most of them illegal immigrant, but not all.
FBI Director Kash Patel says there have now been 1,600 arrests since the administration began its crime crackdown in D.C. He says over the last few days alone, there were 19 arrests involving the FBI, 8 gun recoveries, and 7 drug seizures. The president is set to give an announcement today at 2 p.m. local time. We will see if he has any.
So 1,600 arrests again, 81 nationally or internationally wanted gang members, many of them illegal immigrants, some of them not. So what are you seeing these sanctuary cities? They're not just hiding the illegals. They've become a haven for criminal networks. That's going to be important just a sec. Because, folks, the dawning trend that Democrats refuse to acknowledge.
Here's why Democrat cities plagued by violence should consider getting on board. If you look here at Washington, D.C. at a 2-week period, property crime is down 20%. But the biggest thing are all of the violent crimes, often including robbery, which is down 60%. Homicides are down 71% from last year over this exact same period of time. Assaults with a dangerous weapon, down 10%. Yet, if you listen to Democrats, they don't care about those statistics.
No, they don't. Because as long as those same criminals are out, they can vote Democrat. That's all that matters. They do not care.
Their WL Radio's Tommy Tucker took on the topic, too.
Over the holiday weekend, President Trump made several references on social media to the possibility of deploying National Guard troops to Chicago to help in the fight against crime. The mayor, police chief of Chicago, and the governor of Illinois are opposed to this apparent plan. To help us understand more about the possibilities and this use of the military, we asked Colonel Jeff McCausland to join us, CBS military analyst and political analyst, publisher, CBS military analyst to join us here on WWL. Colonel, thanks for being here.
Yeah, please. I'm a military analyst. I am not a political person. Go ahead.
Yes, a CBS military analyst. Sorry.
And where the city is now, based on the disaster 20 years ago, just an amazing testimony to the human spirit, resiliency, and the teamwork of the great city of New Orleans. So God bless all you for that.
Thank you, Colonel. We appreciate that. And I think that's actually a good segue, because 20 years ago today, we were begging for the military.
Yes, you
to
were.
Come to New Orleans. The city, the state, the region, there were difficulties with the White House and the governor's office, the National Guard and the Pentagon, all trying to determine who would be in charge, who would call the shots, how it would work. And all of that discussion, because it was an unprecedented situation, led to delays. So we wanted, as a community, the military to come and assist New Orleans. Chicago does not want the military. At least the mayor does not. The police chief does not. The governor of Illinois do not. Some of the people may. But how does this process work? Speaking of unprecedented, we saw some national troops deployed to Los Angeles during the riots there. And we have another court ruling today suggesting that was unconstitutional. We've seen the National Guard deployed in Washington, D.C., which is a different set of legal circumstances because it is the nation's capital and not a state. And Congress and the White House have certain powers in D.C. that they don't have elsewhere. But what about Chicago? Is this something that the president, A, has the power to do, and B, is there precedent for it?
You know, it's a great segue back to Katrina, because during Katrina, one of the most amazing things, which people may have forgotten, was where was Louisiana National Guard when Katrina hit? And the answer is one of the missions of the National Guard. The vast majority of the Louisiana National Guard was in Baghdad. They were deployed in Baghdad. There were very few National Guardsmen left in the state of Louisiana. And so as a consequence, one of the things that occurred was agreements were then signed between the various states, which allowed the governor of Pennsylvania to actually call up his guard and pass him over to the governor of the great state of Louisiana. But that was for a second mission, and that's the mission of the National Guard, which is disaster recovery. And we've seen that frequently throughout our history, where the National Guard is called up for for natural disasters, whether forest fires in California or floods and hurricanes in the Gulf Coast. And then the third mission of the Guard beyond Baghdad and beyond that disaster release is social unrest. We have large-scale social unrest. So think of the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. Or think of, if you're an old man like me, you can remember Vietnam and some of the disastrous things that occurred with the National Guard being called up in places like Kent State. Okay? But those are the missions. Overseas reinforcement of national security interests, Baghdad, humanitarian disasters, Katrina, or massive social unrest. And Mr. Trump is stretching that particular law pretty dramatically now and saying, well, I'm going to go in and police American cities. Okay, because we don't have massive social unrest, and we don't have humanitarian disaster in the city of Chicago. And you're right again that Washington, D.C. is different because of the Home Rules Law passed by Congress. The president has more direct authority over the Washington, D.C. National Guard than he does another. But the problem is, and it's come out already now, that under the law, the National Guard cannot be used or federal troops cannot be used, called up by the government, for law enforcement. An individual governor could, the governor of Louisiana, the governor of Illinois could call up the Guard and use them for law enforcement. And in fact, again, back to Katrina, many people don't realize the vast majority of the National Guard, when they arrived, were called up again by governors and therefore were under the control of the adjutant general of the great state of Louisiana and not under the control of the federal military and General Honoré, who was down there. A very small number of actually federal forces were under Honoré's command, a lot of Coast Guard because of air operations and sea operations. But the ground troops were under the command of the Guard because they could do law enforcement in that particular case. But when called up by the president, can't do law enforcement. And now, as Mr. Trump is planning this, apparently, two curious things have happened. One, according to Governor Pritzker of the great state of Illinois, he hasn't spoken to Pritzker about what his plan is, number one. And number two, we've now had a court finding in the last few hours, I think, of a court in California, whereby the California governor actually went to court saying what Mr. Trump had done, calling up the Guard and federalizing him and deploying him to the streets of Los Angeles, was contrary to the Posse Comitatus Act, which was passed by Congress in the 19th century, precluding the use of federal forces for law enforcement. Because when called up by the president, that National Guard now is federalized and becomes part of the federal force.
So short of, in your analysis, short of Congress changing the law or a contrary ruling from the United States Supreme Court, ultimately, the National Guard cannot be used in the way that the president wants to use them in Chicago, even if it's to enforce immigration laws or other laws that is not under the purview of the president as the law is written now.
Exactly. That would be my interpretation. But, you know, I'm a non-lawyer, oh, by the way. But that's right now the opinion of the court. To use National Guardsmen who have been federalized, that's a very important thing. They've been federalized. The president cannot use them for law enforcement. Now, if Pritzker was to call up National Guardsmen and put them on the streets of the city of Chicago for law enforcement under his authority as a governor, different equation, because now they're under the governor's authority and not under federal authority.
Colonel, where do you see this headed?
I see it headed to the courts. I see it headed to the courts, and that's where it's going to go for sure. The real question, of course, is there also now going to be a showdown between Pritzker and Mr. Trump? And I think it's also important to keep in mind, my interpretation again, is this is part of Mr. Trump's larger effort, supported by a number of people around him, what's called the unitary theory of the presidency. And there was a lot of discussion prior to his election and in the aftermath by various very conservative think tanks that said, you know, we're not reading the Constitution correctly. There's a part of Article 2 of the Constitution really gives the president a lot more power than the president has ever exercised. And Mr. Trump is exercising that in a number of ways, and if you will, pushing out the bounds of his authority. This is only one. The declaring of all these tariffs, for example, which also is a second very important court case, is the second one where he has declared, well, it's a national emergency. So therefore, I, as president, can, at my own authority, put a 50% tariff on India and basically do whatever I want to and change it tomorrow if I'd like. Whereas most people would say, if you read the law, that's really the responsibility of Congress. And the unitary theory of the presidency, which they argue, basically says that there is no real checks and balances between the three branches of government, that the president, who is supreme, supported by the other two branches. And that, I think, is also being called to question here by this particular act.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.